All right. Good morning, everybody. Praise God, another new year. You know, I was just thinking about it. Last year was really the first time that we did this 21 days of prayer, and what an awesome way to kick off the new year. I mean, some really awesome things have happened this year. We've had many, 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 many baptisms, many, many, many people come to Jesus. We've raised $1 million towards a new building. $1 million. And I think that those kinds of things happen where people pray. God's ready to do those kinds of things, but for some reason, He's decided that He's going to do that through a people who pray. Amen. Amen. And so we have the wonderful privilege of working together with God in His kingdom. And one of the main and very important ways that we do that is through prayer. God has called us to collaborate with Him. Even though it sure gets messy at times, it'd be a whole lot easier for God to just do it, because He could. But He's decided that He wants to do it with us. And He's called us and He's invited us in to collaborate with Him in His kingdom. And one of the primary ways that we do that is through prayer. That's not the only way, but it's one of the primary ways. Sometimes the only way we discover other ways that God wants us to collaborate with Him is through prayer. And so we're going to, I guess you figured it out, talk about prayer this morning. Let's pray, I guess, since we're going to talk about prayer, right? Father, thank You for this new year. Lord, You've marked new months and new moons and new years. Lord, and You just demonstrate to us, Lord God, it's a new beginning. And we just thank You for this opportunity to step up in a new way, to walk with You in a new way, to learn from You and about You in a new way. And Lord, we pray that You pour out on us in a new way. Lord, pour out upon Silver Creek Fellowship. Pour out of Your Spirit, God. Move in power in the midst of us. Raise us up, God, to be a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Lord, accomplish Your will and Your purposes in and through this place. Jesus, we want to echo what Your disciples asked so many years ago. Lord, teach us to pray. And make us, Lord, to be a house of prayer. And we thank You for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So as I said, prayer is one of the main important ways that we partner with God, that we collaborate with God. And so it's important for us to grow in our understanding of prayer. Like all things in God, prayer is not a static thing. It's a growing thing. It's an evolving thing. It's a developing thing. And it's important for us to give ourselves to allowing God to move us forward, take our next step, as Kurt has often said, take our next step into our prayer life. You see, prayer is more than just asking God for stuff. Now, asking God for stuff is a vital and a very central part of prayer. I don't mean to say that we shouldn't be asking God for stuff, because certainly we should be. But it's bigger than that. And it's important that we understand that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, "Pray in the Spirit in every situation. Use every kind of prayer and request that there is. Use every kind of prayer. So him saying use every kind of prayer means what? That there's more than one kind of prayer. And so it's important for us to see and understand. You know, Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I understood like a child, spoke like a child. But when I became a man, I began to move on from those childish things. And I think the Lord wants us to move on from just having a basic, fundamental understanding of prayer. He wants us to learn how to function more effectively and more maturely, perhaps, in prayer. Pray in the Spirit in every situation. Use every kind of prayer and request that there is. And so first thing we want to talk about with prayer is, first and foremost, involve the Holy Spirit in your praying. Amen. Involve the Holy Spirit in your praying. You know, Paul says to us in Romans chapter 8, and I know we don't like to hear this. We don't like it when people kind of push on us a little bit. But Paul, he's a major pusher. He says, you know what, guys? The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness because, you know, frankly, we don't know how to pray very well. We don't know how to pray for what we ought to. And so, but the Holy Spirit is here to help us. So let's not presume that we know exactly how, who, for what we should pray. But let's invite the Holy Spirit into our prayer life. Pray in the Spirit in every situation. Involve the Holy Spirit in our prayers in every situation. And then pray with every different kind of prayer that there is. And so we're going to look this morning at various kinds of prayer. I won't say that this is a total inclusive list, but I think we kind of hit on the main points here. So the first kind of prayer, it's the blank in your bulletin, is supplication. Supplication. Supplication, it's a fancy word, simply means to ask for blessing and protection. To ask for blessing and protection. So again, asking God for stuff, it's really important. He wants us to ask Him. He wants us to look to Him. He wants us to understand that He is the source of every good thing in our lives and to ask for Him for it. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. And we're all going, yeah, right. Well, if he stopped it right there, we might be in a bit of trouble. Be anxious for nothing. But he gives us the solution. But in everything, get the nothing, everything, make your request known to God by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let God know. Talk to God about everything. Anything that would come to bring anxiety, God says, here's your response. Pray. And it doesn't have to be long drawn out. It can just simply be, God help me. I can't do it. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Help me. And you know what? He responds. He responds. Man, I've asked God for so many stupid things over the years, and I've discovered something. That even though I think it's stupid, God doesn't necessarily think so. God's just eager to jump in the middle of stuff with us. But there's a lot of times that he won't do it unless we ask him. So he says, in everything, bring it to God by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And that's important that we make sure that thanksgiving is a part of it. Because thanksgiving, we give thanks to God in advance because we believe that he's heard us and we believe that he's going to respond. We don't say to God, "Will you show me your stuff and then I'll give you thanks." We give thanks because we're confident and convinced in the goodness and in the love of God and that he wants to be involved in our lives, and so he's ready to move into these situations that we ask him for. Now, I'm not sure that I totally understand why. Well, I guess we've talked about it a little bit, but God just simply requires that we ask and that we ask in faith. You know, God knows what we need before we do. So actually, when we pray, we're not informing God of our need, of our situation, of our difficulty. We're not informing God of that. He understands that. He knows before we know. And yet he requires that we ask. James chapter 4, verse 2 says, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. See, God desires that we, again, acknowledge that he is our source of supply, that God has a desire to move in and through our lives. He really, he says, you need to ask because I want this opportunity to interact with you. I want this opportunity to build relationship with you. I want this opportunity to see our life together strengthened, and I want to see you grow. All of that's involved in asking God. And again, he not only requires that we ask, but that we ask in faith. Again, James chapter 1, verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith. He's saying, if you need wisdom, ask of God, and he won't reprove and he won't reproach because you lack wisdom. He says, but let him ask in faith. Because if we don't ask in faith, he says, we're double-minded. We're of two minds. Yeah, I think maybe God will, but you know, I'm not really sure, and I hope God really will, but you know, who can tell? He says, no, that double-mindedness, he says, don't expect that you're going to receive anything. So he says, ask, and when you ask, ask in faith. So that's the idea of supplication, just simply asking God for blessing and for protection. The second kind of prayer is intercession. Intercession means to help or rescue someone that you happen upon. A good picture of this is Jesus talking with the parable of the Good Samaritan, how the Samaritan's walking down the road and he just happens upon the guy on the side of the road that's been beat up and broken, and you know the story. So Jesus happens upon him and Jesus steps into the situation and intercedes. But there's also, other than physically getting involved in a situation, there's also the prayer of intercession. It means to pray for someone or some situation that you become aware of. Now, there are various ways that we can become aware of something, a situation that needs prayer. We can see it. People can tell us. You know, so-and-so needs prayer. Would you pray? Somebody can ask us for prayer, and we can become aware of a situation that needs to, we can be driving down the road and see an accident. Lord, help them. Lord, move in that situation. We can also become aware of situations that need prayer through the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Have you ever heard anyone talk about a burden to pray? That's the Holy Spirit moving on our hearts and on our lives, speaking to us about something that needs to be prayed for. I don't know the situation. I've just had one of my granddaughters on my heart over the last few days, and so I've just been, don't know anything about what might be going on. But I've learned over the years that when those things kind of prompt me, it's really best to respond to them. And, unfortunately, I've learned the hard way. Because I've not, and I've seen the negative results. And so, it's good to, as the Holy Spirit prompts us, don't try and figure it out. Don't try and reason it away. Just go with the flow. Remember what Paul said? We don't really know how to pray. But the Holy Spirit's come to teach us, to strengthen us in our weakness. So when those quote-unquote burdens come, go with it and just pray. Don't know how to pray? Say, Lord, I don't know how to pray. Holy Spirit, help me here. Amen. God's looking for someone. God's looking for someone in every situation around us. God's looking for someone to pray, to intercede. There's a couple of scriptures from the Old Testament that I want to look at. Isaiah 59:16. It says, he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. So God was looking in the midst of Israel's difficulties, which were many, Judah, which were many, sin being ready to take away into captivity. It says God saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor. I mean, you can almost hear God's wondering, what's going on? Really, there's nobody who will pray? And so, his own arm brought salvation, and that's a picture of Jesus coming as an intercessor. Jesus came as an intercessor. And then we have a similar scripture in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. It says, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Golly, isn't that sad? And it goes on to say, God brought judgment and destruction. But the implication there is that if he'd have found someone, things could have been different. Make up a wall, stand in the gap. You know what we find is in our own lives or in people's lives, that there's a gap between what they're experiencing and what God's will is. And sometimes it just takes somebody like you and I to step into the gap. To take hold of both God and this person and make a connection there. That's an intercessor. You do that by prayer, by intercession. It takes a commitment. It takes a willingness and a desire to be used by God. God, I'm ready to I'm ready to step in. I'm ready to be used. I'm ready to sacrifice. I'm ready to lay my life down. Lord, I want to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Because God, I understand that this gap between this person and your will for their lives, you don't want it like that. And there's all kinds of evil stuff that can flow through that gap. But if we'll take a stance in it, we can stop that stuff. There's a wonderful picture in the book of Colossians about a man called Epaphras, who was really an intercessor. Colossians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Paul commends him. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all of the will of God. For I'm bearing witness that he has a great zeal for you and for those in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Laboring, always laboring fervently for you. Father, just put someone like that in my life who's always laboring fervently for me. Are we willing to be that? I mean, now that's, I understand, that's more than just somebody who prays. That's somebody really who's called to intercession. But we need those kind of folks who will labor fervently and continuously in prayer. And what's he praying for? That you may stand perfect and complete, that you might mature, that you might experience all of the goodness of God, everything that God has in store for you, that you may be perfected, that you may grow up, that you may learn, that you may enter into all that God has. Almost sounds like giving birth. Matter of fact, Paul talks like that about the Galatians, that he says, you know, I'm praying fervently until Christ is birthed in you. The next type of prayer, kind of prayer, if you will, is the prayer of declaration. This simply means to speak for God and with God into a particular situation. To speak for God and with God into a particular situation. I want to look at a passage from Job, chapter 22. It says this: make the Almighty your gold, and the Lord your precious silver treasure. Then you will have delight in the Almighty. You will lift up your face to God. You will make your prayer to him, and he'll hear you, and you'll pay your vows. You shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you. And the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. A prayer of declaration to speak for God and with God into a particular situation. Now, I really like this Job passage because it shows a bit of a process or a progression here. You see, too many of us want to just jump into this a little bit presumptuously. But there's a process here. It says, make the Almighty your gold and the Lord your precious silver treasure. What that means is decide that God will be your highest priority and desire. See, that's a choice that we make. God's already chosen. God's already chosen, and he demonstrated that choice by sending Jesus. He's chosen us. We are his highest treasure and priority. But now he wants us to choose that, yes, indeed, God, you also are my highest treasure and my highest priority. And that's not a choice that we made once 10 years ago, 30 years ago. That's a choice that we make daily. That's a choice that we make every day. God, today, I choose you. God, today, I say yes to you. God, today, you are my priority. Doing your will is my priority. Jesus, the writer of Hebrews, quoted the scripture speaking about Jesus, where Jesus said, Lord, I've come to do your will. Not my will, but yours be done. And you see, as we grow in that, that's a real picture of maturity and maturing. The daily we're choosing God. The daily we're saying yes to God. Daily, God, your will, your purposes. What you say, God, not what I think. What you say, God, not what the circumstances say. What you say, God, not what my emotions tell me. Amen. Then, after you've done that, you have delight in the Almighty, and you will lift up your face to God. Your delight will be in him. The Bible tells us in Psalm 34, 37, verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So, Lord, we choose you today. Lord, you are my treasure. Lord, you are my priority. And he becomes our delight. See, this isn't just laborious. This isn't just, okay, God, again today. No, it becomes our delight. It gets to where there's nothing we would rather do. And when that happens, he says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That means that his desires will become the desires of our heart. And then he will accomplish those desires through us, oftentimes through prayer and through declaration. Amen. He'll give us the desire. And there, boy, there's a place where we're really working together, where we're really collaborating with God. We delight in him. He does a heart transplant. And then he carries out the desires of his heart, which have become the desires of our heart through us. What a way to live. Just awesome. No, it doesn't have flashing lights. But there's nothing better than to live this kind of life. There's nothing better than to live this way with God. When your delight is in me, says you'll make your prayer and he'll hear you. And I really like this next part in verse 28. He says, you will decide and declare a thing, and it shall be established for you. Decide and declare a thing. As God's ambassadors and as a spokesman for God. You know, there have been times when I've asked God, what should we do? What should I do? How should we do this or that? And I've talked to Rob about this, and he's told me the same thing. He said, I've asked God sometimes, and God has said, I don't care. Whatever you want. Now, that doesn't happen all the time. But you see, in those moments, there's something in my heart that is so in sync with God's heart that He just says, whatever you think. Amen. Do you imagine that there's a place in God like that for us? There is. There is. Where we can decide and declare a thing, and it will be done for us. It'll be established for us, and the light of God's favor shall shine on your ways. Awesome. See, God's looking for folks who will work with Him and declare His will in the earth. Amos chapter 3, verse 8 says this: a lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? So He's comparing a lion roaring and fear. We can relate to that, right? I mean, if we heard a lion down the road, I think our response would be, whoa! Just as natural as fear is a response to the roaring lion, He says, in the same way, us prophesying because God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Well, let me tell you something. 1 Corinthians 14 says, you can all prophesy. What does that mean? It means that we can speak what God has said into a situation. Declaration. I understand there are processes that we go through in our own lives and dealing with difficulties, and we need to go through these processes, but you know what? We need to come to the place where the final answer is what God has said. Amen. We need to declare into those situations what God has said. And I understand we got lots of stuff to work through. We got our emotions. We got stuff to our own thinking. We got stuff to work through. But like I said, final answer, God has said. And declare that. Prophesy that into that situation. Because frankly, us saying what we think, us saying what we're experiencing, us saying what we're feeling isn't going to change anything. Amen. Now, we can share with each other and other people can pray with us and for us, and that's a good thing. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that, but I'm saying we should come to the final answer. God said. Amen. Jesus taught us to declare God's will. Matthew 6, you might recognize this. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. See, He doesn't say, ask God if He would please bring His kingdom and accomplish His will. He says, no, declare. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, I believe that if we would begin to declare that, just that, into various situations and circumstances, that we'd see things change. I mean, we pray on Tuesday morning and we declare what God says in these situations, and I can't even begin to tell you how many things we've seen God do. People healed, situations reversed and turned around. People who were estranged being reconciled. I mean, we've been doing this on Tuesday morning for a lot of years. It used to be Thursday morning, but and I just can't even. I don't know if there's a way to count how much we've seen God do. And I don't mean to pat us on the back, but us praying has a whole lot to do with God doing what he's done. And very, very, very often, what happens when we pray is that God's word gets spoken into the situation. Amen. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this situation, in this person's life on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. But we need to grow in this, folks. Fourth thing is praise and thanksgiving. Kurt talked about Habakkuk. Rob mentioned it again last week, so I guess I need to fall in line here. Habakkuk 3, verses 17 and 19. This is right at the end of the book of Habakkuk. Okay? It says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. See, we can see this as if it's just resignation. That Habakkuk is saying, well, there it is, all this stuff, you know, no blossoms, no fruit, no stalk, no nothing, nothing, nothing's working, but even so, God, I'm going to praise you. But I don't believe that's what's going on here. See, Habakkuk had heard from the Lord. Habakkuk started out with complaints about, Lord, it's this and it's that, and, you know, Israel's this, and we're not doing that, and the enemies are coming, and da 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 da. And here's how the Lord responds to him. Look among the nations, Habakkuk 1:5. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. How awesome it is to be in the midst of a situation. For Habakkuk, it was about as bad as he could imagine. And then God says, just check it out, sonny boy. You just watch and see what I'm going to do here. You just watch and see. And so Habakkuk wasn't resigned to, oh, well, this is just the way it is. Habakkuk was saying, yes, this is the way it is, but I'm going to rejoice in the Lord because I've heard something from God, because I've seen something from God. Because God has done something in my heart. And I now have another point of view, another perspective on this situation. So even all of this is true naturally, even though this is what I can see, even though this is what I'm feeling, he says, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me walk on high hills. That's a different place than Habakkuk started out. Amen. Habakkuk started out, whoa. Nothing good, nothing happening. And then he got another point of view. And praise erupted from him. Thanksgiving erupted from him. He's not ignoring the natural reality, but he's choosing to let what God had said be the evidence he was focusing on. Same with Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. Remember the story? They got thrown in jail. I mean, they're doing the Lord's work. They're there preaching, they're casting out devils, and they get beaten up and thrown in jail. I like to think what my response would be, but I'm afraid that it might not be. Amen? I mean, can't you just hear Silas saying, man, why'd David join up with you? I was doing just fine, serving the Lord, doing good, and then I get hooked up with you, and here I am beat up and in jail. Paul going, well, nobody asked you to come. No. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. I think that happened because they prayed. I think that happened because they rejoiced. I think that happened because they praised. Now, there's no evidence that it wouldn't have happened if they didn't. But I don't know why he says that they prayed and praised and it did happen. Rejoicing because of what God has said in the face of every difficulty is always appropriate. Not only that, it's a way that God can and will move in that situation. Praise and thanksgiving are the voice of faith, and praise and thanksgiving open the door for God's presence and power in situations. Amen. Pray always in the Spirit, using every kind of prayer. So as we go into these 21 days of prayer, I hope that we'll all press into new ways to live our prayer life before God.